welcome to Ray and Tay. Today it's Wednesday.
Hello, hello, and welcome to the show. That's right, it's Ray and Tay today, and I'm Ray, that's Tall Rayside.
And I'm Tay, Eric Taylor, and listen, we got a good one for you, a quick one, hard-hitting, but you want to join in and call, listen in, whatever you want to do to enjoy the experience with us, because we're talking sports with friends. The number is 718-664-9098. We have Ray and Tay Today. You want to email us at gmail.com. The website, rayandtaytoday.com, with great photos, poll questions. You know, we got the baseball standings, NFL draft results, NBA mock drafts. Things are getting heated up. You know, we'll talk about the NBA coaching, all that stuff. And, man, we got it for you. So check us out. We're interactive with Facebook and Twitter as well at Ray and Tay Today. And, Ray, let them know how we're going boogie for them in a quick half-hour show, man.
Yeah, we got a hot and quick half-hour set for you. What we'll do, we'll talk about breaking news. We got a lot of little tidbits going on in the world of sports, from tennis to football to, you know, college football to you know, all over the place. But we're bouncing around. And then we'll spend the last half of the show, we'll be talking about the NBA playoffs, right? We're down to the final. We got the finals in the West. We got the Spurs. And they're waiting for who's going to meet them in the East. So we got a 2-2 battle. It's on. But, yeah, so let's just dive right in. We got a lot of little bits of breaking news. So let's get into it, Tay. Why don't you start us off with what's happening in the world of
– Well, listen, you know, it's so funny. Before we, you know, get into all of the tidbits, I'm just like, two things. I want to touch on – it's not a big deal anymore, Ray, but still, for some of us, it's still nostalgic. The Subway Series, a lot of the local teams are playing each other. You got Boston, Philly, Tampa Bay, Miami, Cleveland, Cincinnati, Baltimore, Washington, the baseball. And then locally in New York, we've got, you know, the Yankees and the Mets. The Mets have jumped out to a 5-0 lead on the Yankees in the bottom of the second. They won the first two games. They got to Mariano yesterday. I'm just like, oh, my goodness. Yeah, and the Mets have won 3 in a row. They're the second hottest team in baseball, man, besides the Oakland A's, who won 5 in a row. And you got the Cardinals and D-backs. And the Cardinals, by the way, Ray, 33-17, best record in baseball.
So they beat the Yankees. Got to Mariano. He had saved 18. So kudos to them. And the Yankees were the only team in baseball that hadn't lost 3 games in a row. So it happens. Look, the Mets look like we'll sweep, but then they'll go back to the Bronx, and maybe the Yankees will turn it around over there. But baseball's long season.
Oh, yeah. No, definitely. But also, you know, just shout out to all of our Cub fans. We got some Cub and Chicago White Sox listeners. They're battling, and the Cubs won. They beat the White Sox 9-3. But jumping into hockey, Ray, you know, before the sad news, well, not sad for some people, the Rangers coach, you know, got fired. But I think what's interesting is, kudos to the Kings. They're still alive. They come back and wind up winning 4-3. They win 2-1 and beat San Jose. So they are now waiting for the winner to play in the Western Conference Finals, Chicago against Detroit. This is going to be awesome. Game 7 tonight. Hey, it starts right now. Tipping off Wednesday, 8 o'clock. This is what it's all about, the Red Wings and Blackhawks. So it should be a lot of fun. And in the East, we start off on Saturday, Ray. Boston Bruins against the Pittsburgh Penguins. Yeah, who do you think is going to win that, real quick? Let's just. You think the Bruins could do it, or you like the Penguins?
You know, I hate to go against my Pittsburgh. You know, I got feelings for Pittsburgh, but I think I'm going with the Bruins in this series. And tonight, what do you think about this?
Did you go Blackhawks? I'm going to go Blackhawks. I just think, you know, the home crowd will do something. Yeah, well, the home crowd will pull them through. I just think that overall their two main guys and have started to heat up. And I really think it's going to be about goaltending. So we'll see how that goes. But to me, you know, Detroit has made a heck of a run, but I got to believe the Blackhawks will pull it out here. I'm going with them. And then Blackhawks Kings, we'll talk about that another time, or the Kings versus either winner, we'll talk about that. That should be awesome. And then, you know, running around, I got to say, what's going on with Rutgers is a hot mess. Christie wants to step out of it now, even though he jumped in it before with Mike Rice. Now, there's all these emails saying that the process of how they hired Herman was rushed and sort of she came in last minute. You had some of the male counterparts dropped out, that almost like she was force-fed to get the job. But then it's like they didn't do a thorough background check because she's got multiple issues, Ray. I believe she should step down. If not, she's going to probably get fired. The senator, one of the senators from New Jersey said he's going to step in since the governor won't. You got other legislators that are going to jump in, and I believe the president is going to go next. It's a mess at Rutgers, right? You can't go into the Big Ten like this. You just can't.
And remember I said this. I said every person at the top of that administration, so the coach, the AD, and the president potentially could all go down because this thing, when you start to talk about administrative oversight, you start to talk about institutional problems, that doesn't end with the head coach. So it's a mess at Rutgers, but hopefully they'll turn it around. You know, it shouldn't affect the program, you know, going forward. You would hope that, you know, you clear out the coach, you clear out the AD, you change a few things around, and then this, you know what I mean? This hopefully is an isolated incident that all stems back to one coach. I mean, that's the good thing about it, right? It's all because of one coach. And once you replace that coaching staff, then you start over fresh.
Right, but what does it say about a president and a university that doesn't do enough research that the next hire you have for an AD is someone that was a coach and basically did what the other coach did? That's absurd.
Yeah, that is, and that's why this thing continues. But hopefully, that's just an oversight. They were panicked. They wanted to get somebody in there quickly, and they just didn't do due diligence. You know, that's the least of their bigger problems than not doing due diligence. But you know, shame on them for not doing due diligence.
Yeah. And then just real quick in the French Open. I mean, you know, we'll get in. I mean, obviously they're just in the second round. You know, Federer, I got to say, he's almost like a robot, right? He went 6-2, 6-1, 6-1. And I just think that this guy is so dominant. I mean, he's, you know, ranked number two right now, but he's so dominant. And you just feel like you're just waiting for him to, you know, basically just, you know, fly into the finals every year, you know, pretty much. Depending on, you know, the seeding and who bumps into who. But, man, I got to tell you, you know, tennis, and we always get excited about Wimbledon and all the majors in the French Open. But, you know, you kind of want to see some American blood with the men. It's just not really out there. I mean, obviously, you know, with the women, we have Serena. She wins, you know, 6-1 and 6-2. They're in the second round as well. Our girl Azarenka, you know, I know you like Azarenka. She's ranked number three. She wins 6-1, 6-4. So, you know, over Vesina. So, I mean, oh, I'm sorry. I always cannot get this girl's name, Vesina. But, you know, I just, you kind of want to see someone step up on the men's American side. I don't know. I guess we got to research who's on the horizon for the men.
Not on clay. Yeah, not on clay. I mean, that's one, right? You, this may happen at the U.S. Open, you know, on the hard court surf. Clay and grass, but specifically clay. First of all, it's all about Rafael Nadal on this court.
He's number one.
You know, he's got his, you know, his game is perfectly suited to this surface, and he typically wins. But, yeah, in general, you're right. Men's tennis on the American side, God, has been lacking for, you know, close to a decade now. I mean, you've had some spurts here and there, but pretty much you haven't had a man on the men's side, you know, since this new age of Djokovic and Nadal, and of course Federer has been around for a while now. But those two,
yeah, but Agassi was like our last hurrah. right? Agassi was their last
Sampras,
hurrah.
Yeah, I mean, Sampras was.
Sampras and Agassi.
That's
I mean,
it.
We
that's,
had a couple
it.
Of shining moments from Blake real quick, and then I think he had an injury, and then he just hasn't been able to bounce back. So it's just, I don't know. We'll see. I mean, either way, look, it's tennis. It's not like we just root for Americans, right? You just root for players you like and stuff. But, you know, it's an international sport like, you know, golf and tennis are very much, you know, they're like that. As well as, you know, we see in the NBA now, but you just hope to see some, you know, some good Americans that could step up. So speaking of which,
so why don't you go? Wait, why don't you go out to those tennis courts in Arizona and start recruiting some kids, man?
Well, you know, you're probably better off to do that in Florida or LA. Tennis out here, it gets so hot. But I guess you got a good 8 months to play, so I shouldn't say that. You're right. I definitely maybe I need to start a little tennis team out here and get them going.
You just gotta play
but
at 8 a.m.
I will tell you this though: are you excited about Jeff Hornacek being the new coach of the Phoenix Suns, baby? Wow. Jeff has got a job. For those who don't know, I mean, he's made his money and his fame as the two guard at the Utah Jazz with Stockton and Malone, you know, played at Philly, and I think he had a cup of coffee at Phoenix as well. But what do you think about that hire for the Suns, Ray?
Well, remember how he got to Phoenix, right? Because he got to Philly. He came in the Barkley trade.
Yeah.
So when Barkley moved from Phoenix from Philly to Phoenix, Hornacek went the other way. So he was like the next guy after Jeff Malone, you know, the next two guard in Philly, and then eventually made his way to Utah, and then went to those two finals, Malone and Stockton, when they lost back to so. For 97-98. Hey, why not try it? You know, these ex-players, Mark Jackson, very successful. Doc Rivers, very successful. So they come to ex-players. Ty Corbin, you know, had some moderate success a little bit in Utah. So, hey, give these players a chance. I'd like to see young, relatively young, you know, and not like these recycled coaches that have been around for 20, 30 years.
Right.
So
No. You're going in and out just a little bit, just so you know, you're going in and out a little bit. But I'll tell you this, with the other coaches, you know, the Bobcats, which they're going to, I don't know if you know this, they're going back to the Hornets. They got Steve Clifford, who has been an NBA guy for years. So he's new blood, Jeff's new blood. And then the longtime assistant from San Antonio for like, what, I think I said 17 years. Mike, Budenholzer. So Mike Budenholzer is hired by the Hawks. So I think that's interesting. And then, you know, we're waiting on whether or not who the Clippers will get. The Kings are looking like Mike Malone. So, you know, we know him from, you know, Detroit, New York. Mike Malone's been around and as an NBA lifer. But then we got to see what happens with the Clippers. And then, oddly enough, Ray, the Grizzlies. I mean, to me, you got to pay the money and keep Lionel Hollins. I think you develop so much. How do you just start all over and not bring back Lionel Hollins and let him wind up going to the Clippers? What do you think about that?
I don't like to mean, you know, I don't know the dollars that each side is throwing at each other, but to me it's non-negotiable. Lionel Hollins is your guy. You sign him for 5 years and you put to bed all this coach talk and you try to figure out a way to catch everybody in the West. And you got to think you're excited about it, right? Because we'll talk about the Spurs in a little bit, but the Spurs are getting old, right? All of them, Duncan, Ginobili, and even Parker's not a young kid anymore. So Spurs are getting old. Lakers are a big TBD. Chris Paul might not come back to the Clippers. He probably will, but he may not. So you got to think to yourself, wow, we have a window in the West to be
an
elite
window.
Team. Yeah, so why are we rocking the boat? If we don't get Lyle Hollins, who is going to coach us? Phil Jackson's not going to coach us. So who exactly are you looking for? So if you're going to save a couple of dollars, but you have a chance to become a multiple-time, you know, at least Western Conference Finals team, that's a no-brainer. You got to keep Lionel Hollins.
Yeah, I think you're totally right with that. And then just a couple other news and notes. It looks like the Cavaliers, Ray, like I was saying, they're going to bring in on their draft board, their top three guys, they're saying, are Noel, Porter, and Alex Len. So that's interesting for the Cavs. And you know I love Summer League. I get all into NBA Summer League. And this year in Vegas, 21 teams. I think it's the most ever. 21 teams. You know, some teams go to Orlando as well. But 21 teams are signed up for the Vegas Summer League. So that's kind of interesting. And your Milwaukee Bucks are talking about preferring to re-sign Monte Ellis over Jennings. What would you do there? Right? Well, we might have lost him. But, you know, I think, you know, I know Ray doesn't love that backcourt combination.
No, I'm here.
Ray, oh, you're here? Okay. So with Jennings and Ellis, who would you prefer to re-sign? I know you don't like that combination.
Yeah, I don't love that small backcourt.
So if you were the Bucks. Yeah, maybe I'm losing you. But, well, you know what?
Yeah, I think Brandon Jennings, ultimately, your point more. Can you hear me?
Yeah, you're going in and out. You prefer Jennings at the point? No, you got to get in a good spot. So I think Ray is preferring Jennings. You know, he doesn't like two small guards, but at least Jennings is more of a pure point guard. Ellis is not a pure two. And then just in the last little news and notes, huh?
Can you hear me now? Is it better?
Yeah, I'm hearing you a bit now.
Jennings is better.
Yeah.
No, I like Brandon Jennings. Even though I don't like that small backcourt, I think that the point guard position is more important than your two guards, more dynamic. And I think Brandon Jennings makes people around him. He has a bigger impact on the game than mine.
Right, and then also just another one.
He's going to be the one to sign, I think.
Oh, no, definitely. And the Magic are talking about maybe trading for Eric Bledsoe. That might be interesting, and maybe not keep that number two pick. So we'll definitely talk some NBA draft as it gets closer to the 27. Wouldn't that be interesting?
Yeah, you know, they need, you know, Jameer Nelson. He's been a good soldier for them, and he's played well, but they need a little more dynamic. And maybe that starts with the star, but it's, you know, a young kid.
Right. Yeah, you're breaking up pretty good here. So, yeah, no, definitely. You're right about Jameer Nelson, right? And, you know, and I know you would definitely say this. Orlando probably, you know, instead of bringing in like a Trey Burke, who's not that dynamic, to get a Bledsoe who's already proven and really just in more minutes could probably, you know, maybe even be a star. He's got a nice game and he's still young. And then in a trade, maybe acquire another player besides a Bledsoe. It's probably better to bring in a veteran, you know, young veteran compared to trying to, you know, develop a Trey Burke or even a Shane Larkin. And you wouldn't do that at the number two pick for the Magic anyway. So we'll see what happens. And then there's some rumors about the Cavaliers, Mavericks, and Bobcats interested in trading for DeMarcus Cousins. So, Ray, before we get to the NBA, really get into the NBA and the playoffs, the last thing is Ever Golson. With Notre Dame, I mean, he gets suspended for academic issues. They didn't release officially what it was. I'm sure, you know, maybe exams, cheating, who knows, whatever. You know, they're talking about him having to earn his way back to Notre Dame and the university and then to the program. And once he does one, Brian Kelly said it would be the other. But do you like them going forward with Tommy Reese or the freshman, Malik Zaire? What do you think?
Well, remember, Tommy Reese was the guy up until exactly a year ago. And then they said, oh, we got this kid Golson. So I think they'll go with Tommy Reese. He's probably the safer pick. He's an upperclassman now. But, yeah, this is so disappointing. This typically doesn't happen at Notre Dame. But you're the starting quarterback for Notre Dame. You were undefeated. You got slapped around a little bit in that national championship game. But still, why? What? I mean, really? You got to think the world is your oyster. You got national TV. You have it's all downhill. Why would you jeopardize it? But then again, you know, 19, 20 year old kids do stuff like this. We don't even know what it is, but we do know that that the world was his, Golson. So hopefully he'll get his act together and maybe he'll be the quarterback next year.
Yeah, you know, it's kind of really disappointing, right? Because you got to think that he's recruited well and got some nice talent coming in. So, you know, with him having another year in the system, they were only going to, I think, improve offensively. So then to go ahead and then have this situation go down, it is sort of surprising and shocking. But, you know, I got to say, I think Notre Dame has different pressures academically, you know, than a lot of other places. And, you know, maybe that's what we learned here with this situation, that, you know, maybe it was so much to just, you know, stay on the field. You know, and this is something that's great with what Kelly and Coach David Shaw, who we had on our show from Stanford, and they have great standards. And we applaud it, and we think it's the way to go. But at the same time, it's not easy for every student to achieve and reach those semester to semester, year to year, because it's not like college basketball, right, where they just go for one semester, and then if they leave after the freshman year, they basically don't really need to go to class the second semester. Football, it's 3 years, so you're at least in classes for two and a half years, you know? So it's, that's pretty intense.
Absolutely right.
You know, and that's something that makes a big difference. So, listen, what do you want to chomp on first? You want to congratulate the Spurs, and then we'll finish off with Pacers and Heat, man. And Tony Parker with 37 points, Ray, and they sweep him 4-0. What happened to Z-Bo?
His ankle and his calf and stuff, but, the Spurs, you know that. And what's crazy is that you know that they're all excellent, but they haven't been in 6 years. So all 6 years younger when they swept LeBron James in 07 and his Cavs, LeBron James, Ubi Gibson, and those guys. But hats off to the Spurs, right? They had the regular season record, but we were all worried because they had great records the last 2-3 years. They fumbled in the playoffs, but they're just a juggernaut in the playoffs. Golden State gave them a run. They just were just too much.
Yeah, we're losing you pretty good.
Oh. They're just professionals, and they run Popovich's system, and so that's great.
Yeah. No, you're totally right. And you know what I thought that really stood out to me was even though Ginobili had maybe one of his worst games, Parker with his 37, but Duncan and Tiago Splitter, as Stephen A. would say, Tiago Splitter and Duncan, with their length and their discipline and smarts, they gave – Z-Bo, Zach Randolph, so much trouble in this series, and Gasol, who was nobody's defensive player of the year, Ray, I had to tweet that out. When you saw LeBron block George Hill's shot the other night, you know, and you laugh at Gasol, because I'm just like, oh my gosh, like, yeah, he had one or two good defensive plays in the series, but he's not a difference maker and should have never been, you know, defensive player of the year, but that's a whole other conversation. But, you know, the Grizzlies just really didn't have enough, and the Spurs, Kawhi Leonard, Danny Green, you know, these role players, they did big things and really, I think, did it. But kudos to Duncan, and we'll get into this conversation probably next week, maybe on Monday or Tuesday's episode. But, you know, as the finals start next Thursday, Duncan is going for number 5, Ray, and that will put him in such and also how he's playing, right? I mean, it'll put him in such a special category.
Yeah, and the good thing, remember back to what our caller called about last time, is that San Antonio doesn't need to have a great game from their big three. I mean, they get it from so many different places, defensively and offensively, that this team is so balanced that they could even win with one of their big three, maybe even two, not having a great game, right? Very few teams can say that you can have a great – you don't need to have great performances to win at the, you know, conference championship level and maybe even at the finals level. But R.C. Buford and Popovich is like the dream team right now with that roster and how they assemble the pieces.
No, you're right, and I think just totally incredible, and we give them kudos. And, you know, listen, people talk about the long layoff, 9 days or whatever. We'll see what happens, you know, and how they come out the gate game one. But you got to believe in terms of them getting healthy, Popovich will keep them fresh, and it's just only going to help them for a long series against either the Spurs or the Heat. So let's talk about it, man. 2-2. The Pacers.
The Pacers or the Heat, yeah.
Yeah, the Pacers or the Heat. But 2-2, the series is tied. You know, Indiana stepped up when they had to at home, and they won a game four. And I think, to me, the biggest thing, I mean, obviously Hibbert with 23-12, and, you know, West gets his double-doubles, and, you know, he's averaging, you know, for the series, you know, 17 points and playing just great ball. But Stevenson, Ray, Stevenson, what a game. And what I like is sometimes he'll play LeBron and fights him for a position or sticks him out front and gives, you know, Paul George a little break, and they got to continue to do that more in the series. But he's, you know, he's like, he's representing BK to the fullest because he's stepping up and hitting some big shots and hit a big shot in the fourth quarter. You know, some of these calls from Joe, you know, Crawford and some of these refs were really, you know, suspect. I mean, I think LeBron's sixth foul was a good call, but I think, you know, you had a bad call for Indiana, a bad call for the Heat. I think the refs didn't have a great game, but either way, look, you both deal with the whistles, right? And Bosh, Ray, you can't make the Hall of Fame, Bosh, with 3 rebounds and 7 points shooting 1 for 6. You just can't do that. And Wade 16-6,
well,
but he banged up.
He's carried them in other games. Yeah, he's carried them in other games. But you're right, though. And first of all, like you said, shout out to Deshaun Stevenson, the New York State High School basketball all-time leading scorer. We got to throw that
in.
Yeah,
Lance Stevenson.
I'm sorry, Lance Stevenson. But the reason I said that is because I thought back to Deshaun Stevenson, that there are guys,
right,
and maybe all those guys, that just get fired up to play LeBron and fired up to play the Heat. And he's got the ability and a little bit of scoring punch to just give the Heat some problems. And remember when the Pacers signed Hibbert and everybody was like, oh, my God, Portland signed him to that offer sheet and they're signing him to $15 million. And you know what? Talk about a roster that gives people problems. This Pacers roster without Danny Granger is giving them problems. And, you know, we were in this movie last year. Remember, Dwayne Wade had to score his 41 to dig them out of the hole last year. So this is a great series. You know, this is what NBA playoff basketball is all about. Everybody wrote the Heat all the way through to the finals and winning another championship, as did we. You got to play. You got to play those games. And this is great. You know, let me ask you a question. What do the Heat need to do? Now they're in a, you know, best of three series. And obviously Indiana roster and the way they play exposes some of their weaknesses. So given their weaknesses, what do you think the Heat need to do to, you know, to win the next two games? Or win two
games? It's a great question. And thankfully they have 2 out of 3 at home, but the Pacers aren't scared and their size won't be intimidated. As Hibbert said, I'm 275 pounds and him and Wes aren't going anywhere. And then if you've got George and Stevenson and their starter stepping up, Miami's got a tall order. I'll tell you this. I think LeBron needs help. I mean, look, they say he didn't have a great game, a quiet game, 24-5-6. LeBron is like, that's a quiet game, and that's incredible, right?
Yeah, exactly.
But Bosh and Haslam, like Haslam did in game three, he's got to do that, him and Chris Anderson, again in game five. They need to help Bosh. And Bosh, you know, he tweaked the ankle a little bit, but he's got to stop fading away. And then Cole is good one game, and then Chalmers is, you know, whatever. But I think they've got to spread the floor and hit those shots because you can't continue to bang in there. But listen, the rebounding edge was 49-30. You can't lose by 19 rebounds. You could lose 49-39, but you can't lose by 19 rebounds. That's too much. That's like how the Knicks were getting banged by the Pacers. They've got to clean that up. And I think, you know, you got to have Battier and Allen hit some threes. But the big guys have got to be aggressive and give Hibbert and West some you know, some of the business, right? As you would say, got to give them some of the business, man. So, I don't know. I still got to believe that he would win in maybe seven, you know? I said six,
yeah,
but.
Think, Yeah, it too. I still think the Heat are going to win this series, but they have to do it on the court, and they have to rebound, like you said. They have to play, even though they're not big, they have to play big. They have to play bigger. So you need Haslam, and you need Bosch, and you need LeBron, and you need all these guys to put on their big boy hats and play bigger. But yeah, no, this is going to be a great fun couple of games, especially because that's all the basketball we have. God, can you imagine?
Yeah, tomorrow night, and then game six Saturday night. And we'll recap it for you probably Monday evening, you know, 8 or 9. You just check out Twitter and Facebook, and we'll keep you updated. Ray, real quick, as we're ending the show, listen, this is our 103rd episode. Ladies and gentlemen, we thank you. Our 100th episode was nostalgic. Check it out on rayandtaytoday.com. We had Charles Davis from NFL Network and Fox Sports on with us for our 100th episode. And Ray and Tay are just doing things, making moves, international, you know, Ray's
globetrotting. Thank you. We thank the fans.
Yeah,
we thank the fans, the listeners, and the family, right? We're all family. We say talking sports with friends, and we really believe it. So thank you so much for listening to us. We have a great time talking sports. We have a great time bringing you our show and being interactive with you. So continue to hit us up on Facebook, Twitter, the website, email, calling in, any way you want to get at us, we're happy. So let us know what you think, and we'll bring more.
Definitely. So great show. And, you know, listen, it's really going to be the energy. But I'll tell you this, Ray, the winner of game five is going on to win 83% of the time. So the Heat better defend that home court. And Wade has got to find a little bit of his Superman juice to get, you know, he might have to score 20 points or more. So, but, yeah, man, great show. And like we said, we should probably be back on Monday night or whatever, or maybe Tuesday, but probably Monday night, and we'll let you know. So we're out. Talking sports with friends.
Have a great time.
Peace. Let's go Blackhawks. When I was